Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
My name is Az, I'm the pastor here, and welcome to the 8 a.m. service. We're kicking off a new series today called Hearing from God. Anyone here want to hear from God? I don't know about you, but I think if there's one thing I want in this life is I want to know what God wants me to do. Like I want to know that I'm on track, that I'm not sort of like completely lost in this world going, I wonder if I got it right. I want to have that confidence that I could hear from God. And the reality is that God is alive and active right now, and he's speaking right now, all the time. He is constantly speaking to everyone. Not even if you're someone who doesn't even believe in God, he's talking to you right now. He's actually like trying to get your attention, trying to wake you up. He's like, hello, hello. So we're like, what is that? I remember years ago, just to kick things off, I'm just going to point out the fact that God speaks to everyone even if they don't figure it out. They don't even understand it. I remember years ago, I was on a road trip, and I may have shared this before. I was on a road trip coming back from Sydney on a conference with a bunch of teenage boys on a minibus. And it was about 1 a.m. and we blew a tire. Like, blew a tire on the side of the highway. Now, you don't want that to happen at the best of times. The bus came to a screech. We pulled up on the side of the highway, realized we're in the middle of nowhere, and we had no reception. And all the boys were all, you know, already tired and annoyed. And as the leader, the mighty leader of the group, with two other guys, we got off the bus. We're looking at our shredded tire and we're like, oh, you got to be joking. Trying to get back to Brisbane. We go and get the jack out of the back of the bus. It's the wrong jack. Like, we'd hired this bus from a school and they didn't put the right jack in there. Anyway, so we couldn't change the tire. So we're now in the middle of nowhere with no phone reception, a bunch of teenage boys, and no idea what to do. Like, genuinely, just didn't know what to do. And so we're just trying to pick which student we don't mind if we don't get back. So we're going to send them off into the night to get help. And the one that's been most annoying for the week. And so we kind of, so they go, what do we do? And I remember as the boys are getting really rowdy, one of the young guys gets off the bus and he's like, what are we going to do, Az? What are we? And I'm like, we're just going to pray. That's all you could do, just pray. Like, God, please help us because we are going to have to somehow leave this bus somewhere and try and find help in the middle of the pitch black night. And I remember praying on the side of the road with this teenage boy and we're still trying to figure it out. Like, we're trying to look at all the situations, you know. And cars went by, middle of the night, 110k an hour, vroom, 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 vroom. You know, occasionally a car would go past. And then there's a moment, probably about 10 minutes after we'd prayed, a car goes past our bus, and all of a sudden we hear this. Arr! And I remember looking down the highway and seeing these reverse lights light up, and this car reverses up the highway and fishtails in front of our bus, right? And so just watching that in the middle of the night, you're like, what the heck is going on? And this guy gets out of this car, this old bomby car, and he looks at us and he goes, how you going? This guy has a mullet that flows. Like, he is, like, I mean, I remember just thinking, oh my gosh, like, because who is this guy? And we're like, and he goes, can I help you, lads? And we're like, yeah, we've got a busted tire. And he's like, huh, I've got a jack in my car. Let me go and get it. So he goes and gets it, fits perfectly. And then he proceeds to change our tire for the next 15, 20 minutes on the side of the highway, middle of the night, right? And I'm just like watching this mullet flowing, you know, just in the breeze and all the boys like, who is this guy, right? And I start saying, mate, seriously, what's the go? And he goes, oh, mate, I was just on a way to a party. And anyway, yeah, I wasn't going to stop for you fellas or anything and drove past the bus. And for some reason, I don't know why, but something told me to go back. But I'm on the highway. How do you go back? So I just threw it in reverse. True story. Every one of us is like, yeah, probably shouldn't have done that. Could have killed someone. But anyway, and he changes that tire and we're like, that's crazy. What do you mean? And he goes, I don't know what it was, but something told me I had to go back. And then we were like, all right, well, thanks for changing that tire. See you effing later. See you later, you know. And language of a sailor, you know, like just rough as guts, mullet man. And I don't know if that's an angel. I'm not sure about angel, but you know, like, but I often think about that statement, I don't know why, but. I don't know why, but. And if there's one thing I've learned about this thing with God and hearing from God, many people go, I don't know why, but. But what they don't realize is the Holy Spirit's on the move, stirring their hearts to do something they didn't even know they were supposed to do. And on the other side, someone's praying on the other side and God's getting their attention. But he didn't know he was hearing from God. The difference is when you follow of Jesus, you can know that you heard from God. Like, who wants to actually know? No, that was God. I know God spoke to me. And so the reason we're going to be talking about hearing from God over the next 3 weeks, I want to help you guys. This is a very practical couple of weeks of preaching, which some of you are like, well, that's different for you as. You know, very practical down the line. Some people are like, you know, you just tell stories. But I wanted to be really clear that what I'm going to share today is just the foundations of hearing from God. Because I don't think anyone in this life, if you're in church today, you came here because you want to hear from God. Like, what got you out of bed to go to a church? Maybe it's the coffee. The coffee's great. But I would hope you're here because you want God to speak to you. Like, and you, by the way, by you just stepping outside of your house, getting into your car, driving here is a faith step that says something's going to happen in that building. God's going to speak to me there. And I hope you have an expectation that you just, God wants to speak. And when it comes to hearing from God, you know, you may have in your lifetime, you're like, was it God or was it just, I don't know what it was. You might have people say, oh, what does your gut say? Or listen to your heart. Or what do you feel? And like, all of that's great, but a lot of that's just a natural response to things. But what you've got to understand, when you follow Jesus, you have a supernatural ability to connect with the living God that speaks. And we should actually ask. We should ask God to speak. Let me put it out there. If you're new to church here, you just got dragged along and you're thinking to yourself, well, if there is a living, acting God of the universe and he wants to speak to us, do I want him to speak to me? Like, ask that of yourself. Do I want him to speak to me? I don't know about you, I want him to speak to me. The great news is if you're a seeker, you're someone like, I just want to find God. I want to figure out what there is out there. You're in a great place. You're in such a good place to be in church today. Because the scripture says it very clearly, Matthew 7:7-8 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. And, you know, in other words, if your posture is this, I want to receive from God. I want to know him. I want to find out more about him. I'm prepared to knock on doors I haven't knocked on before. Then you know what's going to happen? You're going to find him. Like, it's just as simple as that. And as a church, we believe that God is alive and active. Well, I believe wholeheartedly that this is not a natural world. This is a supernatural world. A God that's on the move is still active today. And we believe this because of a man that walked the earth 2,000 years ago. A man that claimed to be God, died on a Roman cross, 3 days later, rose again, seen by hundreds of people, and still impacts the world globally today. When he left, he said, hey, when I go, I know you don't want me to leave because you've just seen everything I'm doing, but I'm going to give you something that's going to be your helper. It's going to give you peace. It's going to show you which way to go, the Holy Spirit. And we still have access to that today. And through the Holy Spirit, he speaks. He speaks clearly, clearly to those who want to be spoken to. You know, one of the things about God and his voice is for some of you, you're still like, I don't know if I hear from God. Is that God? Is it? Well, Jesus addresses the crowds often. When he was doing these sermons and you'd speak to the people, at the end of all of his messages, a lot of his messages, anyway, at least 15 times, he uses this statement. He said, here's one example. He's just talked about the seed and the soil. We've done that earlier on this year. He's telling this parable about the seed. And in Luke 8:8, he wraps it up by this. He says, still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than it was sown. When he said this, he called out, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Really weird way to wrap up. Imagine if I did that every sermon. Beacon, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. And you're all sitting there going, we all have ears. Unless you don't have an ear. Like Evander Holyfield got it bitten off or something. I don't know, but like, great story. Anyway, but Jesus calls it out. And why he's saying this is he realizes that some people in the crowd are hearing what he has to say and their like spiritual ears are pinging. Like they're like, whoa, that's God speaking. Others in the crowd are like, that's a nice story. And he's saying, those that have spiritual ears to hear. Let him understand that God is speaking right now. And my prayer is honestly, as a pastor, every time we kind of, I hope that God speaks. I hope your ears are burning with, and something's going off in your heart and your spirit like, I know it to be true. I know it to be true. You know, I want our ears to be wide open. I want them to be able to hear what God has to say just like the eyes of the blind man last week we talked about, his eyes were open to see. We need our ears to be opened to hear. So today, I'm going to quickly pray that God would speak. Not, you know, you can hear Az's voice, but I want him to speak to you. And he uses individuals to speak on his behalf, and I just get the honor of sharing his word today. So Lord, I ask right now for those ears that are closed, that need to be opened, I ask that you open them, that you would show us how to hear from you, to understand what we're listening out for. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. We're going to go to last week's message, John 9, 10 to 11. This statement that came where we talked about the blind man that Jesus opened his eyes last. If you're with, who was with us last week? So this for some of you like, yeah, some of you are like, oh, I missed that one. Listen to the podcast. Jesus comes up to a blind man, rubs dirt in his eyes and says to the guy, like he's blind, he doesn't know, he's got mud in his eyes. Jesus says, go and wash at the pool of Siloam. And so he does, and then his eyes are opened. So blind his whole life, now he can see. And a lot of people come up to him and they're like, how the heck can you see? How can you see? And last week we looked at this. He said this, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it in my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash, so I went and washed, then I could see. The man heard clearly from Jesus, you need to go and wash. So he did it, and then he was healed. Go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Notice the first thing that happens with the miracle that has to occur for this miracle. He has to be able to hear Jesus clearly. He's hearing. He has to be able to hear it. If he can't hear Jesus say, go to the pool of Siloam, he goes nowhere. And so today we're going to be looking at why it's so important to hear the voice of God. If you want to, because last week I said, hey, listen, go, and then you'll see. Listen, go, and then you'll see. If you can't listen, where are you going? And so listening to God is so incredibly important. God is in the business of speaking right from the beginning of foundation of time. Genesis 1, we see God speak. Genesis 1, 1 to 3, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Right at the foundation of all time of this planet, God spoke. And he's still speaking today. And every time he speaks, something unlocks that cannot be turned around. I mean, he is on the move. And he's speaking to us today. I want you to realize that God wants to tell you something today. He wants to speak to you today. But when it comes to hearing from God, it can get very confusing. And sometimes people use these words, God said. And it can really throw you. Anyone ever had a God said moment? Anyone in their young adult years have someone come up to you say, I love you, God told me I'm going to marry you? That's funny, God told me to get a restraining order. You know what I mean? So, like, it's just, that's so interesting. He works in mysterious ways. But the statement God said can be such a dangerous statement, can't it? Because what you're doing is you're attaching what you're saying to the creator of the universe, saying, I am sure that the creator of the universe told me to tell you this. And so even as a pastor, I'm very careful in saying God said. I'll constantly be talking to God and there'll be stirrings and impressions within my spirit that I might say, look, I really feel the Lord might be saying. But it's so interesting how when a God said moment happens and someone tells you something, then that thing doesn't happen. Then you don't get disappointed in the person, do you? Who do you get disappointed in? God. Yeah, so frustrated. Well, God let me down, did he? Or did someone speak out of place? And so you've allowed yourself to be broken and separated from the creator of the universe for disappointment of a person's conversation. And this is why I want you to realize God does want to speak to you. And when you're on this journey of faith, you are going to have to step out sometimes when you just feel a stirring within your spirit. I think God's saying something. And you do actually have to take a step of faith, right? You can't just stay there going, oh, that's nothing. You've still got to take a step of faith. So this faith journey, you're going to get it right sometimes and you're going to get it wrong sometimes. And if you walk away from the things of God because you got it wrong or someone else got it wrong, you've missed the point. You completely missed the point. I want to say this, that there's been many moments in my life, especially in my teen years, I thought I'd met the one. I met her a lot later. So glad I waited. But you know, like you just can, very easy to go, I'm sure that's God, right? And sometimes we find ourselves going, I'm sure that's God. It's a sign. You give me a sign, right? However, sometimes those things that we think so strongly that God's saying don't come about. And I want to challenge us to do something that Paul writes to the Church of Thessalonians in regards to your walk of faith on this journey of hearing from God and learning to hear from God. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says this. He says, rejoice always. So keep your attitude right. Pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying even if you haven't got the answer. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Like, it doesn't matter what happens, keep thanking him anyway. And then it says this, do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. What's interesting about this, don't quench the Spirit. We're a Holy Spirit church. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe the Holy Spirit is on the move. I believe the miracles that have been taking place, cancer gone, couple of cancers in the last couple of weeks, the testimonies in this house, women's prayer, men's prayer, it's unbelievable. Like, you go, that's the power of the Holy Spirit, right? So we're a Holy Spirit church. Do not quench the Spirit is like saying, don't go and pour water on the fire that's burning because you don't understand the fire. Because the fire can bring life and heat and it can bring so much to your life just because you don't understand it. Don't quench that thing. Don't go, well, I don't get it, so I'm out. Well, it's a supernatural thing. If you got it, it would be natural. You are more than flesh and blood. You are a spirit and a soul. And for the rest of your life, you will be working out what this is for and what God wants to use it for. And so he says, don't quench it. Don't shut it down. Don't get all disappointed. But he says this, but test everything. And then I love this. He says this, hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now, can I tell you, when it comes to God spoke, when we get let down, we go, well, that, and we just get so bitter. I'm just speaking from experience of just working with people for the last even 6-7 years, of people disappointment because God said, and it didn't happen. She had INC conference. One of the pastors said, God doesn't owe you your prophecy. I was like, oh. But it's kind of true, like, well, if you don't do what you said you'd do, well, I'm not following. What? Hold on to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. I don't often use the Message version of the Bible, right? But I love this breakdown in the simplicity of this passage. I'm going to read it again. It says this, be cheerful no matter what. Pray at all time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you to belong to Christ Jesus to live. Don't suppress the Spirit. So don't shut down the things of God. Don't stifle those who have a word from the Master. So don't be like, no. But he says, on the other hand, don't be gullible. Like someone could come up to me and say, I see the Lord is saying, you've got to be a basketballer. Like with real conviction. And I could hold on to that for a long time and be really disappointed because I'm not tall. But God said, so don't be gullible. It says, check out everything and keep only what's good. Throw out everything tainted with evil. In other words, if someone has said something to you on behalf of God that you knew was wrong when they said it, you tested it, it was wrong. Instead of holding on to the bitterness and disappointment, just let it go. Hold on to what's good. Hold on to what's good. It actually will set you free. It'll set you free because you'll be like, you know what, God? If that is true, if that word is true, it'll come to pass in your timing. I don't have to go figure it out. It'll happen. It'll happen. I've had many prophetic words in my life. People say, this is going to happen to you. Some words I literally have stuck around in my spirit for over 20 years and I've never told anyone. And I've always gone, no, we'll see. And then when it happens, you're like, oh, that's amazing. But it's not because I went trying to make it happen. I just kept my eyes on Jesus and trusted if it's his word, it'll happen. It'll happen. Test the word. Hold on to what's good. Let go of what's evil. In other words, in your faith life, consistently bounce back. Don't be like, I'm off the rails now. Consistently come back to Jesus, you're enough. Jesus, you're enough. Jesus wants to know you. He wants to be known by you. God loves you. God speaks through all sorts of things. And, you know, honestly, when it comes down to it, like we've got a 3-week series to talk about hearing from God. And I want to get in to this because when we look at the scripture, we actually see that God speaks all the time through all sorts of things, right?
God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Everything is his. So he can speak through whatever he wants. He can. He honestly can speak through whatever he wants. I remember hearing a testimony of this guy who was in a hard metal band who was listening to Nine Inch Nails and the Holy Spirit spoke to him through a Nine Inch Nails song. Not a Christian song. Got saved in his car. How does that happen? God owns everything. He uses whatever he wants, right? And when you look at the Bible, if we actually looked into it, if we did a series on how does God speak, because this is not about how God speaks, all right? We want to talk about hearing it. I literally could give you 20 ways that God speaks in the scripture. Let me list off some of the ways that God speaks to people in the Bible. Through his written word, through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, through an audible voice, through dreams, through visions, through angels, through prophets, through wise counsel, through circumstances, through creation, through miracles, through signs, through the casting of lots, through conviction of conscience, through worship and prayer, through other believers, through scripture remembered, through science, and God even spoke through a donkey. My job's not that safe. It's not kids. Bring in the animal farm. Like, God can use anything. And so as I was looking at this three-week series, I was thinking, well, this is about hearing from God. People want to know how to hear from God. And so what I want to do is I want to teach you two things today so you can get clarity. You can get clarity. Was that God or was that the cheese pizza last night? Like, had some weird dreams. Was that God? Was that just something weird? Because I watched a weird movie and now something's going through my mind. Was that God? So I'm going to give you two things today that I think you can apply in your life. If you get this right, you're going to start to hear God from God really clearly. Okay? If you want to take notes, you can. If not, just listen to the podcast. It's fine. First things first, before you can hear from God, you actually have to have a correct view of who God is. Like a correct view of who God is and what his character is like. Who God is and what his character is like. Because your view of who God is will determine whether you heard from God or not. Like, I have met many spiritualists, many spirituals over the years. Like, God is everything, everywhere, in anything, and any, and like, literally, God is a rock, God is a bird, God is Jesus, God is in everything and anywhere at any time doing anything. Like, you know those sort of people, right? So if God is anything, how can God speak? Through anything, anywhere, everywhere. Like, it gets very confusing. Very, very confusing. And you're like, was that God? I'm not sure. But the beauty of following Jesus, the beauty of God being Jesus, is there's absolutely no confusion. Like, you can have absolute clarity on who God is. Because you can see the man of Jesus and what he did and how he worked, his character in his ministry, and go, ah, that's what God is like. That's what God is like. And it can give you absolute clarity. Jesus claimed that he was the way, the truth, and the life. He claimed that no one gets to God the Father, the creator of the universe, unless they come through Jesus, right? So he's very down the line. It's what got him killed. But he rose again, proving to them that what he said was true. His testimony, his life story, everything he taught shows us a clear picture of what God is like. So how do I know if God is speaking to me? How do I know if God is speaking to me? Well, the answer is pretty simple. Does the thing that's been spoken to you line up with who Jesus was, what he said, and what he'd ask you to do? Okay? So everything, just if you think about it, if God's spoken, it has to be something that Jesus would have said, something that Jesus would do, or it's something that Jesus would ask you to do, right? Because of his character. Like, it's who he is. We can really quickly go, hang on a minute, that doesn't sound like Jesus to me. And so we can actually cut that off. Hold on to what's good, let go of what's evil. Just so you know, we are living in a spiritual realm. There is good and there is evil. There is a devil called Satan, and his number one trick is lies. So if you just think everything's God, guess what? You're going to get smashed. So this is why the anchor of Jesus is so incredible, Because every time something's going through your spirit or a circumstance, or a situation, you're like, hey, what if Jesus said that? Did Jesus do that? Would Jesus ask me to do that? And if it's in line with that, that's a really good start to go, now I'm going to keep on stepping into that place. I'm going to push into that because you know what? This is exciting me. It's not going to bring confusion. It's not going to cause you to go, I don't know. Don't know what that is. The reason I believe that that's how you know it's God is because God can only speak from his own nature. He never contradicts his character. God will never ask you to do something that goes against his character. He just won't. God doesn't wake up. Here's the other beautiful thing about God, Jesus and God the Father. God doesn't wake up in a different mood every day. Like, he doesn't become like less loving one day, less holy, less truthful, or less faithful. Everything he says from everything he does, it all flows from everything who he is. Like, he's just God. When we hear God's voice, we're not hearing information. We're literally encountering his character, right? The Bible says in Titus 1:2, it says God can't lie. In Hebrews 13:8, it says God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus doesn't change with the times. God's value system doesn't change because society says it's different now. He just doesn't. Now, in a couple of weeks, Josiah's going to really look at Scripture. Because if you know the Bible, guess what? You know God. If you know his character, if you know the Word of God, you actually know the character of God. And that's when something happens, something speaks to you. You're like, huh. You'll instantly have discernment because the Holy Spirit will bring it back to you. No, that's not me. Or, yeah, that's me. And so Josiah's going to have a look at that. Some things that you got to understand. Jesus, he will never tell you to walk in unforgiveness because he's forgiving. He'll never tell you to lie because he is truth. He will never encourage pride because he is humble. He'll never promote bitterness because he calls us to reconciliation. The better we know God's character, the easier it is to become, like it's way easier to become familiar in recognizing God's voice. You know, it's like, you know, how kids hear their parents' voices. Like they get used to their mum and dad's voice. I even saw when Josiah was up here today, Ben was responding to Josiah as he was talking. You know, how old is he now? 4.5 months. He's like, that's dad. I know his voice. I know his voice. And the more you get to know God, the closer you get, the more you can understand, oh, I know that voice. I know what that is. And so now I can move quickly because I can trust that voice. He's a good father. Problem is, so many of us, though, don't like the God that is Jesus, even in church. You go, yeah, I believe in Jesus. He saved my life. Yeah, he's Lord of my life, just not in that area. Because I have a different opinion on what I think is right. You are choosing your own religion. You're literally creating a version of God that you want. Because you disagree with the God that calls you to a place of truth and honesty. This stuff, like, it's amazing how we go, I like that portion of Jesus, but I have a better idea. I have a better idea on how to do life. But you've got to understand, it doesn't work that way. The Jews at the time that Jesus was doing all his miracles, they really found it frustrating because they had a different opinion of what they thought God should have been like as well. Like they had come to a conclusion after learning their 613 rules that they were trying to apply all the time. They were constantly coming to Jesus like, you can't be God because you're doing this, this, and this, right? Because they had built a box of what God should have been in their thought. And there's a moment in John 10, 22 to 27, it says this, then came the festival of dedication of Jerusalem. It was winter and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews were there gathering around him saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Because see, here's the thing, they're watching him going, God couldn't possibly be like this. But if you are, tell us plainly because we don't have to figure it out, right? Because we just, you know. Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Do you see it again? He's like, he goes, hey, if you're a follower of Jesus, you will know my voice. How do you know his voice? Because you know his character. You know who Jesus is. And then when you know his voice, you will follow him. Last week we said, listen and go and you'll see. Here we go again. He says, those who listen, they follow. Those who listen, go and they will see who I am. It's the same thing. And Jesus is saying to these Jewish guys, hey, you've just got an incorrect view of who God is and you cannot handle the fact that I am he. I am he. And you've either got to decide I surrender to this Jesus or not. I'm going to follow him or not. They just didn't have a correct view. They had built this box that they thought, you know what? No, that can't possibly be right. Jesus didn't do what they wanted, so he couldn't possibly be God speaking. Let me just say that again. Jesus didn't do what they wanted, so he couldn't possibly be God speaking. This is what leads to my next point today. I want to challenge us all. When we want to hear from God, do we really want to hear from God, or do we just want him to confirm what we want for our lives? Like, do you really want to hear from God, or you just want God to confirm what you want for your life? And really, that's what the Jews, they just couldn't handle it. They're like, don't tell us that. We don't want to hear that. We want to hear what we want to hear. Like, if we're honest, and I'm just going to be so vulnerable. I've done this, and I can still fall into the trap of it. Like, God, I really want this to happen in my life. This is what I believe is for my life. God, show me at church today. Give me a word from Pastor Az to confirm the thing that I want will happen. Or you're at home. I really want this thing to happen. So God, would you just speak? And when you say, God, would you just speak? What you're doing is you're flipping the pages of your Bible. Bible roulette, I like to call it. No, it's not on that page. Next, this Old Testament's right. New Testament. Maybe I'll find it in the Psalms. The thing that I want to hear from God. We aren't looking to hear from God a message that lines up with his character, but instead we're simply wanting God to confirm what we want in our lives. We don't have our ears open. We have our mouth open. We're looking for like a sign or a thing or a word that will confirm in our heart's desires. Instead of like just weighing up, God, what's your desire for my life? Does it line up with Jesus' character? It kind of reminds me of a moment that recently happened in our team. Sorry to put you in this, Josiah. If you work on our team, there's kind of, you know how there's always good parent, bad parent? Good cop, bad cop? So like when you're a teenager, you want to go to your friend's house. You know, mum's like, you're not going anywhere. But you know, dad's really lenient. And you're like, I want to go out tonight. Who do you go to get the answer you want? Emma, who do you go to? Emma, who do you go to? Your mum's on the other side. Be careful. Oh, yeah. You're all feeling very seen right now because you know you've all done it, right? You go to the person that will give you the answer that you want. That's what you do. And I remember Josiah needed something recently and he came to me, as could I said, have you talked to Beck? And he goes, no. And I said, I know why. Like, this is just human nature. So we want to hear from God, right? So we need to know his character and we know it has to be Jesus. Is it something Jesus would have said or done or asked you to do? Like, you just know it's his character. Second, do you truly want to hear from God? Are you surrendered to a point where you're like, my selfish ambition, I lay it down. God, if you have something better for me or something different for me, I'm prepared to hear. Or are you someone that just constantly seeks out someone to tell you what you need to hear or want to hear? That's a very different place. And I can tell you, I have been in that situation many times, as I said, in my mid-20s, early 20s, like, man, time and time again, God said, or I think that's God. I I went and got engaged to a different girl, like, because I was so set, yeah, this is it. But I knew within my spirit it was a no. I actually knew. There was a deep down, something wasn't quite right. And I thank God that I had someone named Andy Goulet in my life, the red Mr. Boss Frog himself, who took me aside, didn't care what I thought of his opinion, just told me straight, pretty much said, this is not right. Now, I didn't want to hear that. But because of the weight of who he was in my life, I knew if he speaks, you listen, right? And I thank God for people that will just be honest. Will be honest. Not tell me what I need to hear, but tell me the things that will bring healing in my life, that will get me back on track. The stuff that needs to be called out. Like, I mean, I keep coming back to relationships, but I reckon this is number one in our society, the number of people that get into bad relationships. Are they a Christian? Oh, they're Catholic. Oh, they go to church. Oh, they're kind of religious. Like, and then what happens is they keep telling themselves, God told me, and all of a sudden they're married, and then they're the people that are going, I don't know why my marriage is not. And you're like, ah. Oh. Because they didn't want to hear the truth. They didn't want to wait for God's ways. They didn't want to do it God's way because they knew better. Let me ask you another question. If you live your life seeking God to confirm the things that you want for your life, and that's all you're looking for, you want to hear God confirm what you want for your life, in that situation, who is God of your life? You. Me. We do not make good gods. We find ourselves wondering why this is happening. And God's like, if you just listened and you'd been obedient, you'd followed, you heard my voice and followed. Probably one of the most sobering passages in Scripture when it comes to hearing from God is something I see time and time again today. And it's definitely something I've wrestled with being a pastor in the last 6 years. In 2 Timothy 4, there's a passage of Scripture where Paul is writing to his understudy, who's preaching the gospel about Jesus, the grace of God, surrendering your life to Jesus, to follow God. And, you know, Tim's out there doing his thing. And Paul writes this to him. He says this, in the presence of God and Christ, in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead in the view of the appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. He says to him, preach the word, be prepared in and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instructions. Hey, just bring the truth, right? But, you know, it gives him ways to do it. He goes, for there will be a time that will come when people would not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of the evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. Did you get it? Did you get that little thing? Does this sound like 2026 or what? This is talking about end times. This is what's going to happen at the end of the time. It says this, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Do you know what that is? That's a thing called an algorithm. On our social media, that's what it is. It's an algorithm. People will turn to what they want to find to be truth. And so the beautiful thing about the world we live in, if I want to back up my lifestyle choices, all I have to do is find more people with the same opinion, get myself in an echo chamber of that, and then decide that is truth. Whereas Jesus says, no, no, no. I am the way, the truth, the life. The only voice you should be listening to right now is me and what I have to say. Because it'll give you life and life to the full. But so many of us are like, oh, well, I think the Bible's old school. I really don't think that marriage is important. I know that God created male and female, but you know what? I think there's a different way. Now, some of you right now are like, well, he could talk about, I'm going to come and live a life that listens to Jesus, listens to what God has to say and go, I trust you. You can either choose to listen to God or not. I can't make that happen for any of you, but you get the choice. Is it in line with his character, with his word? Would Jesus ask you to do it? So many of us live in this life of, I'm not really listening to God, I'm actually listening to my heart. I mentioned it before. Just listen to your heart. What does your heart say? Well, the Bible says your heart is a pit. It's deceptive. So encouraging. I can trust myself. No, you can't. In Jeremiah 17, there's this moment where the Israelites, they'd completely lost track. Jeremiah, he's quite a prophet. Like, he brings the fire, right? And he points out to the people that, yes, you used to follow God, you used to listen to him and obey his ways. You used to do it exactly how he said to do it, and you were blessed, but this is where you're at right now. And he says this in Jeremiah 17. It says, Judah's sin is engraved with an iron tool, inscribed with a flint point on the tablets of their hearts. That's a pretty graphic thing. You have been forged with sin. You've lost your way. On the tablets of their hearts, on the horns of their altars. It says this, even their children remember their altars and Asherah poles beside the spreading trees on the high hills. Now, just to give you an image, the Israelites had one God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one true God, did all the miracles in the Old Testament. But there was a period of time where they went, we think we have a better way. So what they did was they got these Asherah poles. They were like these little timber poles, carved out idols. They used to stamp them around the hills underneath the trees, and it was to bring about good luck. It was about bringing fertility, the God of sex and fertility and freedom, the God of abundance. And so they decided, yeah, I'll have God, but I want that too. Let me ask you, if you were to look at your own life, how many Asherah poles are in your own life? Just pegged alongside Jesus. Like, Jesus is great, and I know he can speak, but, ooh, I could find something else over here too. And so as a result, Jeremiah says, hey, this is what's going to happen. My mountain in the land and your wealth and all your treasures I will give away as plunder together with your high places because of the sin throughout your country. He goes on in verse 5. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh and whose heart turns away from the Lord. This is what we need in 2026. We need to realize we're putting our trust in man more than we're putting our trust in God. And we're getting very confused. When we come back to a place of God's enough, man, watch the Redlands change. Watch the Redlands change. It says that person will be like a bush in the wastelands that will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in the salt land where no one lives. But this is what it says. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence in him. That will be like a tree planted by the water and sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. And then it says this, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to the deeds deserve. When it comes to listening to God, you can either choose to have the Asherah pole and Jesus. I remember going on a missions trip to Fiji years ago. We'd go to houses. These Hindu people, you knock on the door. Hello, would you like us to pray blessing? Please come in, have a cup of tea. We're like, we're followers of Jesus. We love Jesus. And there's a picture, there's a Jesus, and then there's Hindu gods. That's what it looks like. When it comes to following Jesus, you have to separate yourself from the Asherah poles and go, would Jesus say it? Would Jesus do it? Would Jesus ask me to do it? If so, it's God speaking. Let's not get caught up in all the other stuff. Just it's very clear. We can look to the man of Jesus. Hearing from God can sometimes be hard to stomach because it goes against our physical desires. This week, when you ask God, would you speak? Before you ask God, would you speak, I want you to check your heart and say, God, am I asking you to speak because I want what I want or I want what you want for my life? How do we do that? Well, once again, we follow Jesus' example. Luke 22:42. Jesus has been obedient for 3 years, walking the earth, knowing that he's about to go to the cross, knowing that that was his mission. But in his desperation in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says this, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." Jesus shows us how to let go of selfish ambition and just trust God. He's like, "I don't want to do it. I'd prefer to be comfortable. I don't really want my body torn apart." I mean, that's a very crass way of saying it, but when Jesus is about to experience the most brutal flogging and crucifixion on a Roman cross in a garbage heap, because he knows it's what God is asking him to do. He's heard his voice clearly. He knows clearly that's it. And he goes, "Can you just make it go away?" But then he says, "Hey, not my will, but yours be done." That surrender space is where you want to be when it comes to hearing from God. "God, I'm going to pray for all good things. I believe that God wants to prosper your life. I believe that you have a great life." But here's the thing. If God said the word no to you, how would you respond? Could you actually surrender and say, "I trust you in the no. I trust you in the no. I trust you in the no." Jesus taught his disciples earlier on in his ministry. He said, "Hey, boys, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done." For the last couple of weeks, that's all I've been praying, actually. It's kind of shifted the way that I've been hearing from God, too. I feel like God speaks so clear. When you're like, "God, this is what I'd love to happen with my business. I'd love to see this door open," or, "Hey, God, I'd love to see this happen in a marriage," or whatever might be happening. But to actually be in a place of surrender, of like, "But at the end of the day, God, your will be done." All of a sudden, I'm not God. And I'm not disappointed if the answer is no, because I trust that God has great things for me. Amen? It's the heart posture to say your will be done. If I could get the team up, that'd be great. Look, as I said, God can speak through many different ways, and I can share story after story after story of very bizarre things that God has spoken to me through, but they've all been connected to, yeah, that is the heart of God. Jesus would, like, that's God's kindness, that's his favor, that's his blessing, that's his, you know, that's his maybe just challenge to me, that's his conviction. He's in many different ways. We could talk about that. And over the next couple of weeks, Nicole and Josiah are going to bring some different stories about how God has spoken to them and how you can learn from how they hear from God. But today I just wanted to stir us to go, okay, first and foremost, who is God to you? Is it Jesus? Is Jesus God to you, and is that enough? Or have you got Jesus plus a bunch of Asherah poles in your field of life? If it's just Jesus, you're going to get some real clarity coming from heaven. Like, real clarity. I remember being back in the day in Byron Bay at a crystal shop. I used to have dreadlocks, so a mate dragged me in to get some beads for my dreadies. Some of you are like, "I can't come here anymore." That's not the Lord speaking. Keep coming. And I remember going in and this lady was trying to convince me of all the different crystals we needed to buy to make my home good. But they all contradicted each other. It was very confusing. Bag of rocks. I thought, I'm so thankful for Jesus. I'm not confused. I don't have to go to work going, "Oh, I've got the wrong rock in my pocket." I'm colorblind. You know, like, Jesus is very, I mean, he just is so kind. And he'll just speak so clearly. You don't need all the stuff. You don't need little Buddhas to rub their belly. You don't need your star signs. You definitely don't need to go to a clairvoyant. You don't need to go to spiritualist markets and go, "Well, that's God too, right?" No. It's Jesus. The way, the truth, and the life. You can let go of everything else and he will start to speak to you. So the reason you can't hear right now is that you've got a whole bunch of confusion going on in the spiritual atmosphere. You can't figure out what's God and what's not because you have got confusing different voices going on. things you can be confident of God speaking to you this week. Little things. This is why it's so amazing. If you go, would Jesus have done it, said it, or would he ask me to do it? Like, you actually don't need to ask God for a lot of things. Will he speak? Like, for instance, if you see someone in need this week in the Redlands, like you just see someone like struggling paying for their groceries, you don't go, God, would you like to help them? You don't need to pray for that. Would Jesus do it? Yeah, we'll just do it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, or if you are going through a whole bunch of different situations, like it could literally be, I don't know, I'm just feeling a stirring to help the poor. You don't need to pray about that for 4 weeks. You don't. Because you go, well, Jesus will do it. Yeah, I'll do it. Like, that's how beautiful following Jesus is. Would Jesus do it? What would Jesus do? Like, honestly, it's so simple. And so then you go, huh. But on the same token, like, you can also use the other side. Like, I remember years ago in church, a lady came up to me and said, I was in church today and God spoke to me. Great. Told me to leave my husband and go and marry another guy. That was a case of God, tell me what I need to hear. And I went, God would never say that. Well, why? No, I swear, he wants me to be happy. God's love, he wants me to be happy. No. God wants you to lay your life down for your spouse. Like, no, God did not tell you that. I swear he told me. You might, but I'm just telling you now, no, he did not say that. And you can be clear on those sort of statements because you know who Jesus is. You know who Jesus is. So once we realize that daily, every day you wake up, go, would Jesus do it? Yeah, you go, huh, I can walk in that, be obedient. That's amazing. It's incredible. I just have a freedom in my walk with God. I can just do these things. It's incredible. Sometimes there'll be a process where you just have to have a little bit of wisdom on timing. I had a young guy, even with our legacy thing, come to me and he said to me, as I believe God's saying, I want maybe to give this amount, right? And I looked at him and went, he probably is, but I don't think it's right now. You need to actually come back to what does the Bible say? It says be faithful in the little and then you can be faithful in the much. If you try and lift that kind of weight of giving right now, it'll break your back. What I mean by that is you don't go to a gym and just start by lifting 100 kilos. You go on a list of 5K dumbbell. Why don't you lift 100 kilos straight away? You'll break your back. And your faith will injure you. There's wisdom that comes with faith and hearing from God. Okay? So you step out in faith a little bit. You trust him. You get in tune with God. And he continues to speak. Amen? Hey, we're going to stand up right now. Two things to apply when it comes to hearing from God. I hope this has been helpful. So, two things in regards to hearing from God this week. First and foremost, who have you made God of your life? Is it Jesus? Is it just Jesus? Or is it Jesus plus? You need to get rid of the plus. Just Jesus, right? All of a sudden, his voice becomes way clearer. And this morning, you might need to repent. Say, God, you know what? I've been choosing my own God. I've been building my own version of God, and it's not working. And Jesus is like, you're right. I've come to set you free. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let go of everything else. Trust me, all right? So who is God to you? Ask yourself that. And then once you know who Jesus is, go and look into his character. I got to tell you, Alpha, here's a word from God for you. Go to Alpha. Honestly, if you're a brand new Christian, someone who's just starting their faith journey, and you're like, I'm not really sure about all this Jesus stuff, go to Alpha. You're like, I need a word from God. Go to Alpha. Did I tell you? Go to Alpha, because it will be the foundation that sets you up for life when it comes to following Jesus as God. And then second, when you hear something or something stirs, an imprint or something goes on in your spirit, something, there's a little stirring or something happens. Oh, was that God? Was that? Oh, instead of getting freaked out, the peace of God will surpass all understanding to start with. He is the Prince of Peace. You should have no fear or anxiety or doubt. If that happens, not God, okay? Because it's not Jesus, right? Second, you literally, as you're sitting there, go, oh, there's something that kind of excites me. It's kind of scary. Would Jesus do it? Would Jesus say it? Would Jesus ask me to do it? And if you can say yes to those, you just go, I'm going to step out of the boat and trust that God is with me. It'll change your life. Change mine. Let's pray. Jesus, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you, God, that we can hear from you. God, I pray that everything's been heard this morning. God, I pray that it gets just outworked in a practical way. And Jesus, we just thank you that you died for us. You rose again. For anyone who says, I want to make you Lord, you will come into their life. And Jesus, we thank you for that. God, would you bless this church as we continue to hear from you and follow you in your beautiful name. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.